Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek Unlimited.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
It's-a-me, Mikeyo!
It's-a-me, Mario!
So, yes, it's not been that long since the last episode. Unlike previously.
Is this thing still on?
So, yes, it is still on. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about limitations, and not just on this particular article I'm referencing, because I think it's, I'll get into that in a minute. The article is Parents Praise China's New Online Gaming Rules for Kids. The gist of it is the kids, they're limiting the amount of time kids can spend online gaming to 3 hours a week. Yep. And the new rules are part of a campaign to ensure children do not spend too much time on entertainment that could be considered unhealthy.
Barf!
Coming from a different vantage point, one could say, I grew up playing some video games and had computer time and had, you know, television time, entertainment time. And I had about an hour per day, which is basically what they're trying to do here, except they're saying that like trying to ultra regulate people with this very strict, you know, for how long people under 18 are allowed to play video games, which again, I'll get into that in a second. But it says 1 hour per day from 8 to 9 p.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and official holidays. The rule took effect on September 1st. All players are now required to register using their real names, and game companies are strictly forbidden from offering any services to unregistered players. I, coming from the vantage point of playing video games as a kid, not quite as often as people that had gaming consoles, but enough. I don't know. I feel like that's a parent's job to kind of regulate, not the government's. Like, it's no business of the government to tell me what I can and cannot do as far as my entertainment is concerned. Like, I feel like that's a personal choice, and I feel like if they're under 18, the parents should be making the conscious decision. Yeah, if they can get their work done at school and they're, you know, productive in their life, then yeah, who cares? But as far as trying to regulate, you know, between this hour and this hour, you are only going to play these days. You can only play this game. You have to register your real name, which honestly is kind of creepy if you're underage. I don't register my real name anywhere either. It's always like a pseudonym of some sort, but it's just, I don't know. That's just super creepy. But
You do realize this is China, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're also the same ones that have the whole social credit system, where basically they grade you based on, you know, who they deem okay in their political eyes, and if you associate with person A, B, or C that are on their no-no list, then they ban you off transportation. They make your life, you know, torturous. And yeah, I don't know, like I feel like, and to some degree, like our government's starting to go this direction too, which is a little scary, but, and it's been doing this for decades. It's just that they've just more recently, you know, you have to do this because we say so, you have to do this because we say so. It's just getting old. I don't know, and this is kind of like their main mindset on this is to cut the number of new games to reduce gaming addiction. The thing about it is, it's not really an addiction. The thing is people are playing the crap out of video games now because we glorify it by watching people play video games on Twitch or YouTube or other platforms. And then the fact that people want to be internet famous to play video games like everyone else. And when that's all you kind of teach people, of course they're going to play a lot of games, because if you're not good, nobody's going to watch you. So, like, I feel like this is counterintuitive. Like, if they're really trying to curb the whole gaming, quote unquote, addiction, because honestly, like, I dumped my console because I played too much. Like, I realized I had this problem of playing too much. Mm-hmm. And so I dumped the console. Now, do I still play games? Yes, occasionally. But I have other hobbies that I fill my time with now because I'm not playing as many video games. Do I play Star Trek Online? Yes. Do I play, you know, have I played Battlefield? Yes. Have I played Command and Conquer, you know, or old, you know, Windows and DOS games and old console games on my computer? Yeah. Like, but I don't feel like it envelops my time like it used to. And mm-hmm. I think it's just striking that balance, like not overregulating. I think that it's just, you know, each person needs to find that personal balance, not have the government step in and say, well, these companies are not allowed to be issued game license approvals, and, you know, these companies are, now granted, there's a lot of trash games out there that are just made for the sake of making them, but it's still the other reason that China's got problems with it is because of what the moral standards are in their video games.
It's the same thing that it was in the 80s here in the US. All of these senators and congressmen and whatever going after violent video games and things like that and whatever. And I get it. I understand it to a certain extent. But like you said earlier, specifically for kids, and I'm not a parent. I don't have kids. I have no intention of ever having, like, the last thing anyone in this world needs is a TFG2 mic. It's seriously, it's not TFG1 mic junior, whatever. You know, it's the last thing anyone needs. But I still have the values that my mom and my dad and everybody instilled in me about whatever, about common sense, folks. Again, it all boils down to common sense and using your own. Like, look, this is coming out of China. China's going to China because China is China. But it's one of those things where if you're a good parent, if you, you know, nowadays kids get, and your kids may not be, but, you know, most kids end up with tablets and things, and they end up with time limits per day on the stuff. Anyway, here, our good buddy, Pecan Crow Michael, his kids, when he and I and his wife and kids and Karen and I met up for dinner several times, you know. And Michael has told me specifically, like, if Michael and I are recording an episode of the podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym for Phineas and Ferb,
respect my authority.
Like, 5 minutes before we start, he'll get a message from his son on a Friday, on a Thursday night or whatever. Can I have like 5 more minutes, Dad? You know, the kid's going to go to bed after that kind of thing. So now with technology here in the U.S. anyway, we already have potential parental controls of time limits. 3 hours per week is just fucking lame and stupid and dumb. Well, but if that's wants to, you know.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. I voice act because mm-hmm. I watched a boatload of television right. as a kid. The reason I can do so many voices from animated series and I can copy them and I can do impressions or I can reproduce a lot of them or create my own is because I watched a lot of cartoons and video game voices. Just I won't go there because they sucked back then. But I watched and I was allowed to watch an hour a day. However, I split that up for my media time was up to me. Like if I wanted to be on my computer 20 minutes and watch 40 minutes of television, that was my call. But mm-hmm. Within an hour, TV was off, but I could watch an hour every day. Now, the exception was Friday nights when we had TGIF.
Yep.
Because there was like 2 hours of television. That was really good. And then Saturday morning cartoons. And then, of course, Sunday morning cartoons. So I would watch 5 hours of television on Saturday mornings. until I, you know, started working. And then on Sundays, I would watch the first, you know, the 3 hours of cartoons that would be on that day. And that was pretty much my television. Like I did, you know, occasionally we'd watch Star Trek The Next Generation for dinner or something. But otherwise, that was my TV. Like, yeah, I had like probably 15 hours of TV a week. But it didn't influence my ability to perform at school, to do my job. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that I did so much television or, you know, play video games that I did, I don't think that I would be where I am now as far as creatively. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. And the thing that they're hounding on these games for is games with the wrong set of values. So they are, one, if it's not what China wants, it's not what China wants. And so they just ban it, you know, and then you don't have a choice. And then they're like, well, I agree with that position because I have to, because the government said so. So they're not liking the fact that there's obscene and violent content, which aren't they known for that? Like, they created a lot of these blaster games and a lot of these fighting games that we have. But OK, I'll ride this wave. You know, yes, as Americans, we do have a lot more violent, obscene, you know, grotesque. You can see guts, gore, and, you know, any type of weapon, you know, under the sun. And so then they also say that there's breeding unhealthy tendencies such as money worship. Well, let's get back to that part. The money worship part, we get from them anyway, because all of our games have gone from, you know, subscription-based service to free-to-play with microtransactions.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just Americans that do it. They do it, too, because there's Chinese companies. For instance, there's a Chinese company that owns Star Trek Online, or a couple of the other Star Trek games. It's like it's a subsidiary of some Chinese company, and they do microtransactions up the wazoo. There's like 8 different ways of paying for stuff in game, and you have to obtain all of these different money forms. Well, yeah, there's money worship, because if you want to get anything good in game, you have to have money. And if you don't have money, you kind of suck in the game. And that's the way that they kind of do it. But they say that and then the effeminacy of men, meaning the flamboyantly portrayed or canonically gay characters, for instance, like they mentioned in this article on PC Gamer about the League of Legends character who has 2 different looks, one in the West, which is here, and then one in China of how he's depicted. And the one in China looks like something from, you know, Final Fantasy, whereas the one from the West, it looks like the guy that did the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, or the,
oh my, you
know,
God,
the, you know, the long glowing blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, everybody gets the quote wrong. It's not that the love of money is the root of all evils. It's that money is the root of all evils. Money itself is, because people want it, people want to spend it, people don't have it, people want to get it. And yes, you work, look, I have a hell of a lot of ethics and work, you know, like my workflow. Just go back and listen to the last episode of this podcast, folks. Anyone questions my work ethic and me wanting to be able to work, you can go jump out a window for all I give a crap. But it's one of those things where you either want it, have it, don't have it, need to get it, and you have to find ways of getting it. And most of the legal ways anyway, are to go out and get a job or find something you can do to make money. The problem is that most of us live on programs that are funded by the government, that are funded by taxes and everybody else that's worked for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Look, I've mentioned this on several of these Altered Geek episodes recently, as we are on the road to the 400th episode of this podcast. I was born disabled. There is nothing I can do about that. Have there been things in my 41 years that I can do to improve my life? Yes. have things degraded to a point where I feel like I cannot, for the qualifications that I have, you know, and for what I'm allowed to do on supplemental security income, do I, if I go out and get a job right now at Kroger, Fred Meyer, same damn thing, both, you know, Kroger owns Fred Meyer, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's real, like that McDonald's, Walmart, which I won't ever work. I worked at Walmart for a day and a half back in, oh God, that's 20 years ago. I was living in Massachusetts. I worked for Walmart for a day and a half.
That's the side of the country you're on, though. Like, this side of the country, everybody's super nice and they actually get treated decent.
Right. Well,
I don't. Target's not.
Yeah, I'm not going to start the Walmart Target thing. I'm just saying.
I worked for Meijer, which is not associated with Kroger whatsoever.
Yeah.
We have King Supers out here, which is owned by Kroger, but
yeah.
And like weird gas stations named Loaf and Jug, which they all have the same logo. It's the only reason I can tell they own it is because it's they all have the same logo, that little four color thing that they've got going on. But anyways, like, I worked for Meijer for about a month.
Yeah.
I quit happily. Like, because that place, the way they ran things was so backward, and like they wanted you on the clock early to just start working, but you would get penalized if you were working, but they would page you for work before you were supposed to start working. And then, and then you weren't supposed to stay after unless they asked you to, which was almost every night because nobody would work. And then what had happened with that is they would pull you for the crappiest jobs in the store, and you would get micromanaged by somebody else's manager from a different department. And that was just like, and they didn't want you like really working over. Like, they would purposely like try and get you out as quickly as possible, but they wanted you to do all this extra crap at the end of the night. So, yeah. And they would pull it like, surprise, 5 minutes to, hey, I know you're supposed to be leaving, but, and then, yeah. So I eventually came up with the story that my ride's going to leave without me. Mm-hmm. Well, can you ask your ride to stay? No, I'm pretty sure it's going to leave on time.
Yeah.
I drove.
Yeah, of course you did.
I drove. So my vehicle was leaving at the required time because that's when I was leaving.
Yeah. And I know we've kind of switched off the video game thing, but it all ties into money, and it all ties into the money thing with China and whatever else. It's just, and it's funny that, you know, we're talking about Walmart and Target and all these stores. There was a tweet that I retweeted about this electronics employee at Walmart. She quit over the intercom. She called out how creepy the store manager was. She did all this stuff, and it went viral on Twitter. And I'm like, oh man, that's one of the best things ever, because, you know,
attention Walmart shoppers and associates, my name is Beth from electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. The attendant policy is bullshit. We are treated from management and customers poorly every day. Whenever we have a problem with it, we're told that we're replaceable. I'm tired of the constant gaslighting. This company treats their elderly associates like shit. To Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, shame on y'all for treating your associates the way you do. I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. Shout out to Kamenik, Patty, Chardell, and so many more. Walmart doesn't deserve y'all. Fuck manage it and fuck this job. I quit.
Are you listening?
Well, the nostalgia critic did that.
Well,
he went into the break room and he had this, played this boom box, and then started, you know, he ripped off his shirt and he had words, I quit, written on his chest. Like, it was just like, it was epic. I mean, I get it, but I would never do that to some place that I genuinely enjoyed. Like, I worked at the car dealership for 10 years and I gave them notice. Like, were there things I hated about that place? Yes, but I didn't, like, I couldn't do that to people I worked with. Like, right. I don't know, well, like, and like, Meijer, like, I was younger, for one, so, like, I had no care whatsoever. I was like, I'm not taking this. And then I ended up working for, like, this little pizza joint for about 3 days.
Pizza, 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 pizza.
That swore they were so busy. And it was, like, a kid's birthday, like, hub type thing. And I knew some Little Caesars people that had worked there. after I'd quit Little Caesars at one point. And I worked there and they were like, oh, it's so busy. I don't even know what to do. And I'm like, I know what to do. I worked at Little Caesars for like 3 years at that point. I was like, you do this and everything will be fine. No, no, no. We don't do things that way. And they had like double the crew and half and like a third of the work. And they would freak out. And I was like, I can't deal with this. So I left. And then they're like, why did you quit? And I'm like, because you guys swear you're busy and you're not. Like, you work a Wednesday at Little Caesars. Tell me how you feel then. Like, I don't know. I worked at Little Caesars for 5 more years after that. But it's still like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, yeah, money is, you know, the root of all evil, because the more you covet it, the more that it twists your thoughts on it. But the sad part is you need more of it because inflation keeps going up. And the way that these governments, I know it's gone off in a weird government tangent, which I'm not intending for that, but I'm not talking about individuals. I'm just talking about the whole structure.
Yeah, overall.
But the fact that, you know, they show that inflation started really affecting, you know, for instance, minimum wage, everybody's crying for higher minimum wage, which, don't get me wrong, I agree with to an extent. I agree with it to the point that, you know, inflation, because the government prints more money, it continuously drives our dollar down. So we need more of it to buy the things that we need to survive, which is why there's so many homeless and so many people, you know, being evicted, so many people that are stuck on these fast food jobs because, one, the older people haven't yet retired to open up those spaces for those of us in the, you know, the 80s on through. And so, yes, there are people that are stuck in fast food jobs and can't get out. Now, sometimes it takes a leap of faith to get out of it. You can't just stay in it forever. I know that some people are like, I can't get out of it. It depends. Like, if you get into a management position, it's kind of hard to leave because you make decent money. But, you know, if you're one of the other ones that's like part time. Yeah, I mean, it's meant to be a starter job. And I get that. But at the same time, when the wages don't go up competitively with inflation, it means you have to work more jobs, more hours, more things, and you're unable to afford things. Like, the cost of living in Colorado is equivalent to Texas or California. And, you know, in Michigan, you can make X amount of dollars and you can make, like, I can make a fraction of what I make here and live decent in Michigan. But because the cost of living here keeps increasing, because we're about to vote in October again for them to figure out a way to raise more taxes.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'm like, no. Like, everything, you know, no. I don't know. Anyways, so my gripe with the minimum wage thing going up, and this is kind of the other side of the government coin here. If it's going to go up, it should go up competitively with everyone as far as what inflation would be for what they currently make. So if somebody is making, let's say, you know, say minimum wage is $12 an hour, say that if inflation had kept up with minimum wage or minimum wage kept up with inflation, you know, let's say minimum wage is supposed to be $26 an hour. Let's say that I make, you know, like my dad made like $38 an hour or something in the shop or something close to that. You know, working as a skilled trade that he went to school for to learn, not just, you know, one of the guys pushing stuff down the assembly line, but so let's say that, you know, that minimum wage gets bumped up to $26 an hour. So that wouldn't be fair to somebody who's worked their butt off to get to the wage that they currently have. So if they have, if they're making, let's say if they're even making $26 an hour now and minimum wage goes up to that, well, it's not fair for them to stay at $26 an hour. It should increase by the percentage that the people that went from the lower point, you know, from the $12 an hour, you know, whatever that percentage is to go up to the 26. That's what it should increase from the 26th person that earned their way up to whatever they'll end up making. And that's part of the problem, too, is that it's unfair to both sides of the spectrum, the ones that work their way up and the ones that are trying to make more to actually make a living because the government spends money like it's water.
Yeah. You still there? You're cutting out.
So, yeah,
I guess the government is trying to censor you from talking because you keep cutting out. So
I'm not cutting out.
Well, then that's Discord for you folks.
Barf! So yeah, I don't know. I feel like this whole thing with, you know, government regulations and tighter control, I feel like it's a giant negative on all fronts. Like, I feel like people should be able to police themselves to an extent. Like, I don't feel like this is something the government needs to jump into. And we already know that, like, China's like uber, like, control freak on everybody else. And to a lesser extent, so is the United States getting to that point. I think the WHO even declared, like, gaming a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like, I can't agree with that. Yeah, the American Psychological Association has proposed adding gaming disorder to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders too. Like, it's not a disorder. Yes, some people play excessively. It's not an illness. It's not a disorder. Like, it's not. Now, the games that have microtransactions that have gambling, yes, then that's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I don't do the microtransaction, because you're gambling every single time for these little lockboxes that may or may not give you
mm-hmm.
the thing that you're trying to get. Like in the Transformers Earth Wars video game. Mm-hmm. On the mobile, came out in 2016. I still play it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I play it more than others. Sometimes I don't. I jump off for months at a time. But they came out recently with the Transmetal 2 Megatron and Optimal Optimus in game. Well, you can spend varying amounts of money to get certain amount of these crystals that could generate the figure or mm-hmm. give you an amount of shards, which are pieces that lead up to that figure, which usually when that happens, there's like 5,000 to get to. And so you'll never get to it. So like the more money you spend, the more of these crystals you get. And so like if you spend $5, you get 2 crystals. You spend 10, you get 4. If you spend, you know, 20, you get you'll get like 10, and they increase. And so like you could spend upward to $100 to get like 80 of these crystals, and you may not get the figure, like the character, for a fictional character. Like that to me, like these gambling things, like it. You remember how I used to play like Star Trek Online years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I figured out how to game the internal system.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so I could turn around, I could flip stuff in from one currency to another to flip something else to get a different currency to get what I was trying to get and buy it off the market for a decent price with the internal game money without spending a dime. And I figured out how to do this all in game. Well, since then, they've packed that system so you can no longer even do that on any of the fronts. Like, you literally have to spend cash to get anything. So yes, there are awesome things in game that I would love to get my hands on, but I'm not spending a dime on it, so I just will have to live without. So it's, I don't know, I feel like to some degree, yes, some people are just like diehard overboard on the stuff, but I think that, you know, can it be a mental disorder? You know, possibly, because it's a gaming addiction, which is no different than gambling. But I again,
if you let it, okay,
well, if you let it control your life and bankrupt you, it's an addiction. If you're playing it for enjoyment a couple hours a day or something, it's not hurting anything.
Okay, perfect example. Okay. Let's just go with 1992. Okay. 1992. I'm 12 years old. It's just before the Christmas holiday. I have maybe 3 subjects of homework to take care of. I usually used to get home from school maybe 3:30 Eastern time, maybe, depending. Sometimes it might have been 4, but as long as I got 2 of my 3 subjects of homework done before dinner, so I had 2 hours to work on my homework before dinner, I could have an hour of TV time Or I could have an hour of TV and video game time, 30 minutes for each. So I could watch I could watch an episode of The Cosby Show, and I could play Super Mario World for 30 minutes. Obviously, I didn't have a Super Nintendo until actually Christmas of 1992, which was a few weeks after this. But the example holds. As long as I got a good portion of my homework done before dinner, and as long as I finished the other portion after dinner, I could play at least an hour a night versus 3 hours a week. Like, this needs to be something that the parents, like, the fact that the government wants to do, and like you've already said in this episode about registration, like, what is this, the Mutant Registration Act of 1992 already? Like, come on, people.
Well, especially when it's a big privacy thing, like, you don't want people knowing kids' names, how old they are.
Absolutely.
It just makes it easier to figure out how to hunt them down. Like, people are disgusting. Yep. Like, it's not. Moral status. Like, I don't feel like, you know, having somebody have their real name posted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little crazy, and we're not Chinese, we're not in that culture, we're not in that country, but as people with common sense who, if I had kids, I would let them maybe have, like I already said, what I had, an hour a night, maybe 2 hours a night every couple of nights kind of thing. Like, it wouldn't, like, what I would most likely do if I was a parent right now in these times, you can have video games 4 nights a week, you can have time for TV 3 nights a week, or vice versa, and I would just keep flip-flopping it. You know, it just depends on what's going on, but the fact it's, oh god, government limitations of limiting video games, oh boy. I swear I got flashbacks of the 80s when I first heard about this whole thing. Except it's not happening here. It's happening over there.
I don't know. I feel like there's just getting to be more and more of people telling other people what to do.
Yeah.
And less autonomy, or you know, the fact that people just want other people to be regulated because, you know, heaven forbid, people can't be, you know, able to control themselves or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like people,
it's kind of like, oh, okay, it's a perfect example, okay?
Need to mind their own business.
There's that. And I agree with that. But say, for example, what's a movie you love that you know that I have zero interest in? Like, it's not that I dislike it. It's not that I have an opinion, but I've never seen it.
You don't like Ace Ventura, do you?
Yummy.
I like the first one. I don't like the second one. I've seen them both, but okay. But okay. God, I'm trying to think. All right. We'll switch it to, we'll keep it in with, keep it in with the video game thing. I have never played, to my recollection, any of the Diablo games. You like some of those, right?
Yeah, and I used to play them. I don't really care for them now, which is funny because I'm older.
Okay, now you don't care for them, but when you were playing
Star Trek Online.
Okay, oh, there you go. I really don't give a shit about that. I still play that. Yeah, okay. So I remember when you were so hyped up about this and everything else, and that's great. You enjoy it. That's awesome. Great. You know, I'm a casual Trekkie at best. I've looked at it. I like it, but I have no interest in playing it. Does that mean I'm going to allow you to force the fact that you love this game for me to be able to play it and love it too? No. Opinions are opinions. This whole, this could be a topic for another time, and I kind of want it to be. But anyway, like, I enjoy Nickelback. I don't sit here and force anyone to listen to Nickelback. I may make a joke, I may make a snide remark, but I'm not sitting here and telling Steve Megatron to enjoy How You Remind Me, which is 20 years old as of last month, or this month, actually, kind of thing. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. Just like, I have zero interest in watching The Princess Bride all the way through from beginning to end. I don't dislike the film. I don't like the film. I have no opinion of it. But at the same time, I would much rather watch something I would am into, something that I do enjoy. Same thing with The Lost Boys. I get it. It was 1987. It was a vampire movie. Everybody was into it. Everybody liked it. I was 7 years old at the time, and I was enjoying Turtles and what little was left of Transformers and He-Man and Thundercats and Silverhawks and all the other stuff. Like, but people saying now, oh, Mike has never seen The Lost Boys. We need to make him watch. No, you don't need to make me watch anything. If there's something you want me to see, I will look at the trailer at least to see if it's something I'm interested in. And then I will tell you yay or nay. But I'm not going to sit here and allow anyone to force their opinion on me or for me personally to force any of my opinions on anyone. The fact that I think Caddyshack 2 is the superior of the two Caddyshack films, that's my personal opinion. And if people have a differing opinion, yay, we don't agree on that. Let's find something else we can enjoy together. You know what I mean? Like this whole thing of force, and really with this China thing and the video games thing, like you said, it more comes down to having to register your real name. Oh, look, all of the Chinese, I don't mean Chinese as in the Chinese people, but all of these, you know, Chinese hackers who get information or who sell this information to pedophiles and blah, 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 this and blah, all this evil shit in the world. This is just going to make it even easier for those evil people to find specifically children. And that's just dumb, stupid. And I don't know what don't ever move to China, folks. As bad as the U.S. is, no.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I think that it's invasive. Like it wouldn't matter if it happened here. Like I don't like any of that. Like
it should be up to the parents. If yeah. You want your kid, you know, wait, you know, television will rot your brains. Blah, blah, blah. If you want your kid watching 40 hours of television every month or every week or every day, or not that there's 40 hours of TV in a day, but you get what I'm saying. Like, if you want your kid doing that, well, that's what you're going to do. If you want your kid on a more, not, I don't want to say restrictive, but a more reasonable television or video game schedule, then you do that. You know what I mean? Again, it all boils down to common sense of the parents with the children.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree. I think that this is a bit much for overreach.
Yeah.
And I feel like we as a culture just kind of need to stay out of everybody's business. Like, you don't, you know, I may not agree with somebody's personal life decision, but it doesn't mean that they have to live the way I expect them to, like, or I should live the way that they expect me to. Like, it's a part of that life journey that everybody goes on. And honestly, if you just kind of need to mind your own business. Like, I don't have to approve of your life choices. You don't have to approve of mine. That's the beauty of life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's just the way it needs to go.
Yeah. And we don't talk about this very often, and I'm glad we've had this discussion tonight. I'm glad this topic.
I think we've been pretty civil on it. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, we've been friends for almost what it feels like 20 years, but it's, you know, 13, 14 years at this point. There's nothing that we've said to each other on air or off air that has ever made the other one. We may have been upset or may have been mad, but usually by the next day, if we apologize to each other or something, you know, it's not the end of the friggin' world.
I mean, in like, you know, like, there are people that have different political views than I do, or mm-hmm. I find them all corrupt, lying sacks of garbage. And so that's just the boat I ride in on. Like, I don't care what political aisle they are. If they're not a decent human being, then they just please get rid of them. All of them. Start fresh. please, no one. No one that we currently have in that start fresh. Anyways.
What's your slogan, Megatron?
I simply have a penchant for intelligent conversation.
Okay, what's your ancestors' slogan?
Peace through tyranny.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Basically, you know, folks, look.
And the more and that's the thing too, is like they're quick to spend our money and quick to take it. And they don't care that we're struggling. And that's government.
Yeah, it is the way it is.
I know. That's all I'm saying on it. Saying,
No. But my point here is, okay, so my point here is a penchant. Okay, let's just put G1 versus Beast Wars Megatron on either side of the aisle. I'm not saying that there's an elephant or a bull or what. I'm not saying specific parties, but let's put them on either side of an aisle. Peace through tyranny versus a penchant for intelligent conversation.
Conversation went out the window ages ago.
Well, yes, that's what I'm trying to bring here. But it's one of those things where you have some people on one side and other people on the other side. The thing with you and I is, for me personally, you know, and I agree with part of yours. They are all corrupt. I've always said that, just like you have. But it's one of those things where who is going to bring the most common sense to the next 4 years or whatever out of the two that are in front of us, kind of thing. That's my thing. Like, whatever is going to be good for this country comparatively to what happened, with the last person that was in charge.
Like, we got hosed to the last eight.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't even want
to. Regardless, we need less government intervention and more like on your own, more personal, more
And like I mentioned before,
less government control, more human decency.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, nowadays with technology and everything else.
As a parent, you can set limits for your child.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm saying.
I have limits for mine. Yeah. I have an app on my phone where it's the Google Family app, Family Link. Mm-hmm. I can see how long my kids have been on their tablets, how long, when, what they were on. Nothing I can't discover.
Exactly. It's that thing of you're taking responsibility for your children and the time they are spending. You don't need the government to come in, any government, no matter what government it is.
Companies have made it entirely too easy to self-regulate. Like companies like Google and Amazon, any of the things that have like kids-based things. Mm-hmm. You just put them on a device. Like, I can lock down Windows if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I've done that with the computer that's in the other room.
Yep.
I've told my son, I'm like, just so you know, I used to be an IT person. I will find out what you're doing on that computer. I don't have to lock it down. Uh-huh. And I can obtain any information that you figure out to remove. Because I did it with salespeople. People that were as old as my grandfather or my parents now, it's not beyond me. I will figure it out. And I've told him that. And he discovered the hard way that I figured out what he'd watched on the television because of me supervision.
Oh, geez.
No, he's not bad. He's just, he just thinks he can get on whatever he feels like. So he's launched, videos of how to draw stuff or various cartoons that either he's heard about from kids at school or that I've mentioned in the past. And he'll say, how did you know? I says, I just know. Mm-hmm. I says, and on the TV, you can't clear your history.
Nope.
I said, so I know it, like, you got to go through a lot of hoops to get to it. Oh, yeah. So I let him know that. And so he's like, oh, okay. And I says, so if you don't want to get busted by your mom for watching stuff, you know, that, you know, she wouldn't approve of, you're better off not doing it. So he's like, okay. He's like, I get it. And then, like, he does, you know, stay off it after that. But it's again, it's having that conversation, that confrontation with your kid, letting them know that you're not dumber than a box of rocks and that you will police them if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, again, government interaction is not needed.
Yeah. And let's kind of end it on this. For those that are still listening to this,
I'm sorry.
What?
No, I'm just saying I'm sorry.
I wasn't like, what? I'm like, I was going to say what, but then I stopped myself. As parents, what do you allow your kids to do? You can write us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can comment on this episode on the website, or you can tell us on Twitter at @AlteredGeek. Any of that good stuff, let us know, and let us know what your opinions are on video games only 3 hours a week, whether it's China being China doing China or some other country.
Whatever. I mean, for crying out loud, I used to play video games. Like, I used to play Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm.
3-4 hours. Podcast. I used to play 3 hours on a Friday,
mm-hmm.
and like 3-4 hours on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes like 5 hours on a Sunday night. So,
yeah.
But I used to do it with Arkham. Like, I used to play the Arkham games on my Xbox. Like, I used to play it. I think I would stay up till like 3 a.m, which was, that was excessive. And I had a problem. And my wife was justified to yell at me for that. I've since toned it down. Like, I don't even go to bed at 2 a.m. anymore like I used to. And even like 6 months ago, I was still trying to scoot back up to the 2 a.m. Mark. And she's like, you need sleep. You're getting old. And she's right. I don't like sleep, but I've got this appreciation for it now because I'm like, I do get tired about certain time and I can get up early, but I would love to hear what people do to police their kids. And, you know, do they think that they need interaction like, you know, China telling people what to do, or, you know, are, do they have like software that they use to police their kids, or, you know, this magic thing of like, I took the power cord. Mm-hmm. My parents did that one to me a couple times. I've almost done that to Ian, but he doesn't know how to get on enough stuff to make it worth that effort of crawling underneath the table and grabbing a cord.
Yeah. That's a lot of effort, folks. And for the people that don't have kids, how do you
balance life?
Yeah. How do you balance life with entertainment? How do you balance your job, your whatever, along with watching television or reading comics or playing video games or even collecting toys? You know, so let us know, man. Let us know, folks. We want interaction. Yay.
So let us know what we should talk about on a lighter note in the next episode of Altered Geek. I'm hoping to, if nothing else, go back to weekly, but I'd like to do like every other week, if at the bare minimum. Like, I don't want to leave it.
I think bi-weekly is good for us because it gives us
a chance.
At least for now, because it gives us a chance. I need a variety of things to work on currently. After
the top 100. Yeah, she burnt herself out, which
100 hours.
But the level of kudos you've gotten.
Yes. Thank you to everybody who has given me compliments. You could
work in podcasting, Mike. Seriously, you should market your services as like an expensive editor. and then you wouldn't need your benefits from the government. Yep, you'd be like rolling in the dough, peoples. Look at this. This stuff sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yep.
Use that as your demo reel. Listen to this podcast. This will tell you everything you need to know.
Yep. $1,000 a minute, folks. That's my rate, because at least in 1 minute of work, I can afford a new computer.
No, you do like, you know, a couple hundred an episode.
I know. I understand that. I'm saying,
within a couple days, you'll have enough for a new computer, you know?
Anyways.
So, how can the good people get a hold of you online?
I am on the Twitters at SCP21.
I can be found at the Twitters at TFG1Mike. Or the other way around.
Yep. Can always catch us on geekcastradio.com. You know, yep. I'm everywhere. I do everything. I don't do everything.
That's what she said.
I
couldn't help it, man. You left that wide open. That's it.
I'm gonna knock you out.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
It's-a me, Mikeyo.